Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And today we are talking about minute number 214
of 214. Zack
Snyder's 214. Yeah, that's a magic number that we can go into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, snap. How many? We haven't done many to episode 214s, have we?
This is the first time we're ever doing a minute 214.
Wow. Look at us.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Yeah. Today we are talking about minute number 214, the aforementioned minute of Zack Snyder's Justice League Part 6, Something Darker. Jeez. Talk about getting the same intro twice. This minute's going to start out with the Justice League continuing to stand victorious atop the Podjornov nuclear reactor ventilation spire. Spire. I think that's the first time we've called it a spire. So
every minute we're gonna have to come up with a synonym. We're just got the thesaurus open, and we're just like spire,
and use everything.
Smokestack.
Yeah. Besides, reactor, it's like real name.
Sarcophagus. Something. It's something. I don't know what they're standing on, but
now you're just saying fun words. Xylophone. Fun word to say Cacophonous. And spell.
Euphonious.
Yeah, this minute is going to end with the Justice League, oh geez, still standing victorious. I watched it. It's the same freaking thing. Longest 60 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
Just experienced it.
When we got finished watching the minute again, you said, Jesus, and I knew exactly why you said it. It's because today's minute is the same thing. It's so
holy hell.
Yesterday's minute, they climbed out of Podjornov, or Batman was climbing out of Podjornov. Superman helps him up, and they stand victoriously. And the Justice League theme is playing, and it's like, ooh, ah, like this is so cool. Like Justice League is here. Today's minute is still doing it, still standing victoriously for the entire 60 seconds, and you get to hear the theme play out, and like you just kind of revel in it.
We do get an answer to something that we were talking about weeks ago. And, you know, if I was good at my job, I would actually remember what the F I said. But we do get an answer a little bit in this minute. So there are still some things to discuss, I think. But I just really wanted to, like, state at the top that, holy hell, this is like a waste of time.
This is a hard-earned victory pose. I just didn't think it'd be going on for so long.
Yesterday was the hard-earned victory pose, the slow motion, and we got a little we get the same thing at the end of this minute.
Spoiler for
at the beginning of this minute.
And spoiler for the listeners, I mean, this doesn't end. It didn't end in this minute either.
No, we still got... It's still going on,
It's baby. Still doing it. It's still doing it for the entire minute. I mean, there's multiple...
You're still hanging around.
There's multiple shots. We're not going anywhere. Going on in this minute, but... it is the same. The big fanfare is happening. I did want to talk about the 214.
Let's talk about it. 214. Which is, 214. 214.
Which is ironic. And maybe in some way we can
spin it as... Isn't it ironic?
I'm sorry. No, it's okay. No, it's fine. It's ironic. I think it's ironic. It's coincidence, conspiracy. I think not. Right? Like it's so they're doing this big fanfare thing, and it's 2:14, and we would have been done by now, because this was the original theatrical cut timing. Not for the theatrical cut that we got, but when Zack Snyder was shooting it, he had a cut that was 214 minutes.
So it must have just ended right here, and that's it.
And it would have just ended right here. Roll credits. Yeah, this could have been it.
I mean, it does fade to black at the end of this minute, so it does end. Like, the movie ends here.
Like, the movie could end here.
It does. I mean, like, are we counting? Is it still something darker? No, it's epilogue. So this is the last minute. Yeah. This is the end of part
this
six.
This could be the end of the movie.
And there's six parts and an epilogue.
But no, we have another 29 minutes to go.
Yeah, 30 minutes of an epilogue, which is fine, you know, because that's kind of like DLC, baby.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the end of the movie.
Yeah, so...
Proper.
All the stuff that he put in later is, like, pulled from the assembly cut, plus he shot some extra footage for the Snyder cut. So, yeah, now we have to talk about 29 more minutes of stuff, and we've talked about 29 stuff from the 29 minutes of stuff that we wished, you know, maybe wasn't in this version. So, I've always talked about how I think there's a really strong 214-minute cut of this movie inside this movie. And I think it's just, again, ironic that it ends minute 214 with this shot here and this moment here. I think it's fantastic. It could just...
Well, how can there be another 214 cut of this movie with things taken out or put in if it still ends properly here at 214? What the hell's in your version that?
Well, I mean, we're talking like credits would be done too. You know what I mean? Like, you've got the credits are in here. By minute 214,
we
should have been
the reel.
Yeah, we should have been done with the credits by now.
Okay. I get what you mean.
Yeah. Which is 3.5 hours. Which is a good sized movie. That's like Return of the King, right?
Return of the King plus the credits, or the credits are 30 minutes long?
Okay, I don't know if they're 30 minutes long.
Dude, I was just watching like Two Towers or something extended, and or maybe I was watching Fellowship extended, and like I made a point to say to like our group chat, be like, holy shit, that's like 30 or 40 minute long credits. Oh, it was when David, name dropping, it was when one of our buddies went to go see them playing in theaters when he, at a little event in his state.
We have 10 minutes worth of credits.
For this, I'm saying Return of the King has 30 minutes worth of credits, or maybe more, but
you might
maybe
be right.
I think Fellowship has 30 minutes of credits extended. It's long. So I was like, dang, dude, did you like have to sit there and just like wait for 30 extra minutes? And he was like, no, I got up and, you know, mingled.
This is a
hot box the bathroom.
Yeah, apparently people were bringing like mobile cots and sleeping bags and stuff and taking naps in their car in between the films. So it was quite the ordeal. Which at that point,
stay home.
It doesn't sound like a good idea for a movie theater. It'd just be like, well, now it looks like we're a homeless shelter because we decided to film three movies back to back to back. Screen three movies, not film three movies. But it does seem kind of weird.
I think there should be rules against.
Well, no. I mean,
I was going to say, you can't really put rules against like, sleeping in your car.
Oh, no, that would be awful. I've done it. I don't know about you, but sometimes a nap in your car hits pretty nice.
Yeah, dude, I've many a times, and we live in Florida.
I used to when I was in college, I would take a nap in garage at H or F or I, and
just in any single parking lot,
any parking garage campus. At UCF, there's a lot of student parking garages, and I would just in between classes, I would just go take a nap in my car, and some of the best naps I've ever had, honestly. So,
yeah, mine were like when I was working at an office building, and we just go out there and
it hits right.
Just pass out, man.
What I'm saying is,
yeah,
this minute here, it feels like taking a nice nap. It's rewarding.
No, that's good that you feel that way. I do not get that sense for this minute.
I want to talk about it because there's things we can talk about this. I mean,
there's some good things in this minute that I will point out, but also as a whole, as in general, this minute, clearly illustrates, which is kind of wild to me if I think about it from in my own little world.
Can I tell you the most surprising thing about this minute?
Please do.
It's the flying fox showing up again.
Dude, I was going to point that out. I was going to say that answers something that we were asking about a few weeks ago. What happened to the flying fox? And I was, you know, saying, laughing, being like, oh, it's not like he can't just like buy another one or whatever. Like, that's a thing that you kind of like, I guess, I don't know if it's just on the top of your mind. It's like, oh, crap, the Batmobile's disabled. Like, the Batmobile got like chunked. It's like, well, I mean, like, he'll have one overnight. He'll have one. Well, it's not overnighted, but it's like the day. It'll have to take, like, he'll get one next day, but same it's like day, one of those things where delivery. Like he's ordering at like 4 a.m. And like he places the order and Amazon's like, yeah, they'll still get delivered by like between like 11 a.m. and 4. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. Doesn't get dark till 8 now, baby.
So, and one of the reasons I forgot the flying fox was in here was because there was like this weird like public or publicized image of Zack Snyder in place of the flying fox here in this shot, because like when articles were being written about the Snyder Cut being released and Zack Snyder like fulfilling his vision, a lot of the articles would use like what Zack Snyder is like doing is like, like his hand, like he's in the background looking at these Justice League as they're posed, like looking at the flying fox.
Yeah, and like his head, like a white TMND like type.
Like his hand is like what it looks like is like he's curating a vision of like action figures almost. It's almost like he's setting them up kind of thing.
I get that.
Like it was a really clever Photoshop for a headline article, like a, you know, image for an article. And I just kind of got burned in my head because they got, you know, you see it a lot when the Snyder Cut comes around and in articles and tabloids and stuff like that. But you know, it's a very interesting image. Anyways, I always think of that and I kind of forgot of the flying fox here.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that because that's kind of news to me. I don't really remember that. I never saw that meme. That's a silly meme, but I can picture it clear as heck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild because that's how I feel like what this minute is. Like, I did this with my action figures when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did do the posing them and kind of move my body around to see the different angles as if it was, like, a movie doing the heroic poses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's it's kind of the opposite of being like, oh, that's cool, that's something that I pictured in my head. It's like, oh, that's, well, to me it's just like, dang, like I was picturing that when I was like a child, and it's kind of stupid, but, or at least it's kind of a waste of time. It's a little bit of a waste because we could have just got this looking down shot as it panned out. And I guess the winning thing is like, okay, cool, the flying fox gets remote access again. Cyborg's controlling it, opening it up and everything like that. So like, that's good news. They have a ride. They got a way out.
What I will say is I think it's a very empowering minute and a very empowering scene. And maybe not so much action figures, but like if you think of cosplay and people who would dress up like this, like people want to feel like this. People who dress up like Batman and Superman or Wonder Woman from this DC cinematic universe, they want to feel as like,
of course, like they want this.
They want this kind of fanfare. They want this. This is how they feel when they're at a convention. People are like, yo, can I take your picture? Like, you look like Wonder Woman. It's like, hell yeah. This music is like in their mind, in the back of their head. They're like, this is cool. In the theatrical cut, it's only just like the fist bump that Barry Allen and Cyborg do, and then it cuts right here where you would think the flying fox isn't here. So I think in that version, the flying fox did actually just crash and burn.
That's it, dunzo. Yeah.
And instead,
because like this is like Cyborg calling it again. It's like, well, again, don't give any more cyborg, don't give any more things for Cyborg to do because we don't want him in this movie.
Yeah, true. Also they're looking out into the Pejornov, and it all looks like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn. It looks like overgrowth and the terraforming happened all over Pejornov. So they get to look at that, which in a weird way, it's prettier to look at than just looking at this flying fox because it's kind of obstructing the view a little bit. I would have liked to have seen if some of this fanfare was done a different way to kind of show Pejornov before the flying fox showed up. I mean, I guess it's just ruins. It's not terraformed and pretty looking like in the theatrical cut. But this one's fine. I just was not expecting the flying fox to show back up. Really wasn't.
Yeah, news to me.
And it looks fine. Like, it looks like not beat up.
Looks like it didn't just crash into
it. It looks like
giant,
it didn't crash.
Irradiated.
Yeah.
Organic shell thing. What the hell do you think? It's like fiberglass at best, right?
I don't know why. Don't ask me about Wayne technology. I couldn't tell you.
No, I'm talking about the dome. The apocalyptic dome.
Oh.
What kind of like substance do you think that's
like a weird membrane
related to? Weird membrane, but it was hard.
Yeah, but
I had to blow it up.
Yeah, but
crystalline or something.
Yeah, crystalline maybe. Yeah, it was organic. It screamed organic.
But like organic rock, that's kind of crystal like, right?
Like a plant cell wall.
Or like organic, I mean, shell, but still. It was a pretty dang tough.
It was, yeah.
Shell.
But it was regenerating,
shells
too.
Yeah, but shells are made up of what? Calcium? No.
I mean, it was it was like it definitely had like that sci-fi feel to it where it was like a bit like, I guess we would call them like, Shin Godzilla, like the skin membrane of just like regenerating, but it's like organic, but it's hard. And like missiles, it's hard to penetrate missiles, but then it like regenerates too. So it was definitely a weird like organic material that was being created from, I would assume, all the radiation here in Pejornov that the mother boxes was utilizing to build that protective dome.
Dang it, why didn't it take up all the plastic that's covering this dang earth and the oceans and use that?
That's what we really need. We need like a Magneto, but he only deals with plastic. Man. And just siphon all the plastic off the earth. That's what we need.
That's real. That's just as dangerous as Magneto.
Yeah, because all the microplastics inside of us.
Everything. like you could do blood bending and crap. Like
That'd be really funny, and in a very silly way. So one of the bigger shots here that is not in the theatrical cut is this close-up pan that it goes from like left to right, and so you kind of have Cyborg, and then the Flash is like just super giddy, looking towards the direction of Batman, and then Batman isn't paying a lick of attention towards him and is just staring straight out like, yeah, we did this. This is a job well done. This is what I wanted to do the entire movie. With the goggles up, which interesting. And the Superman's doing the same thing. Everyone on the right side, they're like, yeah, we know what to do. We're veterans in the hero pose. And that's really like the only new shot here, but it does take up a big moment, and then it like, as it finishes panning, it'll then kind of like kind of swivel and then zoom out a bit to show the entire Justice League from like an angle, and then you get and then the minute ends and it kind of repeats itself.
Yeah, that's it. It starts to fade to black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
starts to fade to black.
Yeah,
starts to fade to black. Why does that sound so familiar?
Fade to Black. That's a Metallica song.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
Nah, never mind. So
it's not Back to Black. That's Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the sky here because I think it has a pastel color that we've been talking about. Like it kind of has like a Baroque kind of. It reminds me a lot of like the Mount Olympus stuff that we talked about in Wonder Woman, and it looks like this minute evokes that Greek gods thing that Zack Snyder really likes about the big DC heroes, and just
it's got that little bit of an orange, like orange tan tint to it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, these are my Greek gods. Look at them. Look at that sunset. Look at that silhouette right there.
Sunrise, baby. It was just nighttime.
Oh, sunrise. You're right. Easter movie. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Dang, this is like the...
We got two sunrises in this movie.
This is the third sunrise that Clark is having to go through.
How many sunrises?
Sunrise on in Metropolis when he first woke up.
And then he went.
And then he made it to Kansas in time
Central
for
time
that
zone,
sun.
Which is another sunrise. Yep.
Yeah. And then he went all the way
to Pejornov.
Yeah, but like
And by that time, the sun had gone over the West Coast, had went over the Pacific, went over Japan, and now starting to go over Pejornov.
No, because they were attacking Pejornov at nighttime.
Yeah, because they flew very fast.
Oh, so this is the next day. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what?
Duh, clearly.
Technically,
Superman rose yesterday.
Technically, it's the next day because Pejornov had their day before the U.S. because that's how time zones work.
Yeah, well, Clark took a whole day of finding himself again and walking through the haunted halls of the
scout ship.
Got a new suit, went to the Batcave, and then it was nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So So like the League got Superman up. They resurrected Superman. It was daytime, dawn, breaking dawn, part one. and then, so they had to go back, plan their whole shebang.
Uh-huh.
Took a whole day, took a whole 12 hours.
I was going to say there's more than one sunrise in this movie. Like there's a sunrise when Lois Lane is getting coffee the first time. And it's playing Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds, right? And it's...
This movie doesn't take place between, like, 3 days. It's not, you know, a straight shot. That's another thing.
It doesn't... I know it takes place over multiple days, but I'm saying every time they start a new day, they're, like, filming a scene
every
that...
Every day is a new day!
Yeah,
okay.
That's P.O.D.
So will I.
Yeah, okay.
Yes?
Yeah, it's P.O.D.
Yeah.
Every scene that starts a new day in this minute, I think it incorporates the sunrise in it. Because then it also does it when Wonder Woman is in Italy or Greece and she sees the ancient warning fire arrow. And it's like, oh, it's sunrise. Because she just started work and they shot the arrow in the middle of the night. And they're like, it's still burning. And she like showed up.
Yeah, but like that's like 9 a.m.
But that's
maybe 8 if she's a good employee. Or heck, maybe she's like at like a real top notch level and she doesn't have to come in until 10.
No, she was 11. She was definitely there before. Actually, now that I think about it, I'd have to rewatch Wonder Woman 1984 because I'm pretty sure she's like already up, like doing her stuff when Kristen Wiig shows up and like introduce her, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I've been here, right?" I haven't seen that movie in a while. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
It's
been a little bit too. anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I wanted to mention that the eye makeup on Batman here, we get a really good shot of it at least. And I think it's taken this long for us to kind of, maybe squash this, this idea that we going on. We always talk about how fun it would be to have the white eyes, the whited out eyes in a cowl, and it would be excellent. But it's like one of those things where it's like, well, you get one or the other. You either black out his eyes
with the makeup,
so like nothing showing, and it's just like his, you know, shark eyes or whatever. Or you know, do
I'm
a whole
just saying
freaking green goggle thing, and then in post, like make them all bright. But then you kind of run
I'm
into
saying.
The whole thing of like, well, that's not what's in the contract.
The thing is, though, in the third act, and we've seen it with the armored bat suit, we've seen it on like CCTV footage. You can do the white eyes, that the white LED eyes, and people are like, "Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. It looks like Batman." I don't understand how Batman having goggles in the third act, in part six, like they said, "No, we can't do that." It's like, why not? Why not have them LED? Show that the goggles have some sort of tech spec to them. That they're like, okay, well, they're like infrared goggles.
Yeah.
Heck, even if they
like
were like
they...
red LED goggles instead of white, like if they're just red.
Then he would be like Thomas Wayne Batman.
Which would be so cool. Eyes. Like it doesn't matter anymore. Like your Batman looks like an action figure. Like just do it. Just do something with the eyes that make the goggles
like,
cooler. Black.
Like maybe they
on
were supposed
black,
to be like scouters. Or like a thing that like is plugged into like your bat computer, so like it does instead of them having contacts like in the Batman, it's the goggles. I mean, I prefer the contacts versus goggles, but if you're gonna put goggles on him, like why
do something?
Does he have the goggles? Is he just because that's what like F1 racers do, and his car is like a friggin' F1 car?
I mean, I understand the goggles when fighting parademons. I absolutely.
Why? How?
What? It's. Hey, you don't want to get dirt in your eyes, dude.
Well, he wasn't wearing goggles when he was fighting
Clayface.
Doomsday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, he was a little unprepared. He didn't expect that.
I just don't understand why the goggles are a plus. I'm right there with you.
I'm not
angry or anything like that. I think the argument's fine because the moments where we do get like the white eyes, like in the CCTV. In the security footage, yeah, that makes it even more of a treat. I just wish like maybe there could have been other opportunities, like in the beginning when Batman is interrogating and beating up. What's his name? Caesar Santos. The beginning part where the cops show up. And he's got the shotgun and stuff like that.
Was that his name?
Batman shows up and
that
he's in the corner.
I'd be really
impressed,
Nate, if you remembered that.
What?
I was saying I'd be really impressed if that was his name and you remembered that.
Caesar Santos?
Yeah. Yeah, that was his name.
That was the guy's name. Yes, I know his name. The girlfriend, the baby mama, had the necklace that said Caesar.
Oh, you're so right. Wow, good on you.
It's not my husband, but he was a father, you know, that kind of crap. Anyway, so like him like in the corner of that ceiling,
mm-hmm.
If it wasn't like as detailed as a shot, and I don't know if I talked about this, but like, because then it would also play to like the image of how the Gotham, the GCPD, like would view this vampire, especially this rookie kid who's like about to shoot a gun at him. More of a dark figure. And in the corner, instead of it being lit so well, where you actually see him kind of parkouring in that corner, it's just like that dark caped figure with bat ears and white glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. And then he starts shooting at it and it's like, oh.
Or red glowing eyes.
That was the Batman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it could work. It could work. I think there's just that little change in the goggles. Like, just make them light up somehow.
But only in moments. I think it only matters when, like, he actually, like, is in the shadows where like, you would actually have to light it, like, in the shadows.
So, like, a cat. Like, when a cat looks at you and there's, like, an indirect light and then their eyes glow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, let's just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I dig it. Yeah. Let's do that.
But then, like, if you do close up shots on his, or when he finally steps out of the shadows, they're not white eyes. It's just like, that's just how he wants it to look because that's what Batman's theatrics are. He's stepping in the shadows, his little inside LEDs turn on, little screen flips down or whatever.
I want to know.
And then when he steps out, they're gone.
If someone has like a Mayfex Justice League Batman, if they've ever if the goggles, I wonder what the material is like on the goggles, and what can be done to make them stand out in like action figure photography.
He would still, like, no matter what, he's still gonna look like freaking Donatello. Like, he's gonna look like he's wearing goggles.
But like, what if they?
And then it's night.
What if they replaced the goggle part? Like, I don't know how the goggles really look. Like, as far as like the material.
Like, instead of, then it would be like not concave eye holes in the cowl. It would be like one, like you would have the, like a lens kind of thing.
Yeah, like so I'm thinking like, do you remember Bionicles where they had the infrared plastic that goes on the inside of the mask for the eye so that like if you shine a light through it, like the eyes glow? Like the goggles could be replaced with like an like a translucent plastic. That's what I'm thinking of, translucent plastic. Then the goggles would light up because if you did any sort of action figure photography, the light would catch in the translucent plastic.
Yeah, but you just do it in Photoshop, baby.
Yes, of course, but we were talking about the indirect lighting, not CGI.
I get you. You have no idea how much I appreciate how much thought you're putting into like actually the setup and what the end product is going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. Now we live in the future where it's like, well, I don't need to do that. I can get that same end result on the computer.
Yeah.
You know,
so instead we're just left with this image here. I'm just gonna post this. That's what we're left with.
God, jeez, the little painted on pupils. What a silly thing!
It's like someone. It's like we don't know what to do with our eyes anymore. Just.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.